Hey everyone, welcome to tonight's call, and we're going to talk a little bit about relaxing breathing. So I thought this would be the appropriate one for today, again, being election and all, and the news got us all worked up, so I thought it would be the perfect time for relaxing and breathing, and, you know, the holiday season, you know, pretty much upon us, I suppose, officially here, so it's always a good time to relax and breathe. So, you know, a few quick notes here. Your relaxation and tension level. Right. Now, I just want to be clear. I like to say relaxation level, but I think it's important to have a contrast here. So we want to understand that there's really a spectrum, right? So there's being completely and totally relaxed, and there's being really, really tense. And, you know, again, where we want to be may depend on the situation. If you want to go to sleep, being absolutely totally relaxed might be great. If you want to be confident, right? Again, we don't want to be totally, totally relaxed, but we don't want to be tense. We want to be, you know, maybe somewhere in the middle. So, again, I like to just say relaxation. I like to kind of refer to it as a relaxation tension level, just so we understand the contracts. But again, it affects everything. So we want to be aware of it because it's one of the easiest things to actually change. Right? It may not feel that way sometimes, but hopefully after tonight, you'll believe that a little bit more. So again, it's a foundational piece. And when you change your relaxation level, you change everything, you know? So it's an easy, fundamental piece to change. Prevention mindset, right? So we're going to talk about this where we want to prevent things that are stressful, right? So a bit of our awareness, right? So again, I just mentioned the election. But so one of the prevention things would be to not watch so much news, perhaps, right? Or whatever the things are in your life that stress you out, you know, identify them and work to reduce them, you know, minimize them as much as possible. That's going to be a much more effective approach than, you know, getting all stressed out and then trying to relax yourself, right? Again, what is it? An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. So again, it's the same thing here. We want to prevent things because it's just it's easier, a more effective way to do it. Next one, again, when you're relaxed, it really does connect you to a deeper wisdom, you know? And so again, I referenced the belly brain, right? And so we have a huge conglomeration of nerves in our belly, neurons. It's the second, they equate it to the size of a dog's brain. And so there's a lot of wisdom down there. And so as we relax and calm ourselves down, I really do think it kind of opens us up to our gut feelings, our belly brain, our intuition. You know, I definitely think there's some wisdom there and we can draw upon that when we open up those channels through the relaxation. Of course, it allows you to think about things from a different perspective. And I would say this is across the board. You know, I always like to reference, you know, when I open my hypnosis practice, really one thing guaranteed that the people would get out of it is that they would relax, right? Across the board, guaranteed. And a lot of times, this is kind of interesting, but when we think about situations in our life that we're struggling with, a lot of times we don't realize this, but unconsciously we're tense, right? So if you've been struggling with weight for a while, when you think about weight, it creates kind of some tension in the body. So that with things in your life that you're struggling with, I can almost guarantee you that there's a level of tension with it when you're thinking. So when you think about those same areas of your life in a relaxed state, you really are thinking about it differently. You really are getting a different perspective on it. And so it is literally, it's one of the easiest ways to gain some kind of valuable insights into areas of your life that you want to make changes in. Okay. Lights up different neural pathways, right? Just straight up. It literally, your brain kind of lights up. It happens split second, millisecond fast. But we light up different neural pathways in our mind depending on the state that we're in. And so if we're angry, right, we light up neural pathways. And an example of the pathways that we open are memories. And so when we're angry, we tend to remember all the things, you know, that made us angry, right? Times when people wronged us or said the, you know, something mean to us. When we relax, again, we light up different neural pathways and we tend to remember more positive things. And again, it's not just memories. It's literally how we see the world and think about it. So it literally makes a neurological shift in our body when we shift our state. Okay. So again, I'm really talking it up because sometimes we do the opposite of this. We minimize relaxation. It's like, oh yeah, I should relax. I know it's good for me, blah, blah. And we don't think it's going to make any difference. It makes a huge difference. It literally changes the quality of who you are, you know, in a sense. I think when you're relaxed and you're calm and you're centered, you're connected to your wisdom, you know what I mean? All these things, I think you're a better version of yourself, you know, rather than a stressed one. And then again, it's a skill. I want you to understand that, because sometimes people just think relaxation is something you either have or you don't. That's not true. It's very much like writing, right? You didn't know how to write. You practiced it over and over, and now you can write without even thinking about it. And again, you take it for granted now because you've been doing it for so long, but writing is a very complex movement, right? There's lots of different muscles in your body that are engaging and making that process happen. It's the same thing with relaxation. It's just like any other mechanical skill that you've learned, walking, riding a bike, writing. It's lots of different parts of your body working in unison. Okay. And so I want you to understand that even if you're bad at relaxation right now, if you practice it, you will get better at it. Right. And I can tell you for myself, I have a tuned up nervous system where I think I'm a little more tense than the average person. But after practicing and working on it for a long time, I've gotten way better at it. Okay. So I want you to understand that you can get better at it as well. And then, you know, finally, I like to say that your state controls your weight. And it's funny. I just saw this article yesterday about Applebee's. They had a 9% increase in their third quarter profits. And the reason is because they have started to target in their marketing stress eaters, right? And so, you know, again, we already know this, right? We already know that stress specifically drives overeating, and it drives it for a number of reasons. Some of those are literally physiological, right? You start releasing more cortisol in your body, and it literally affects you to crave unhealthier foods. So when you're more relaxed and more calm, again, you're creating a better physiological environment, but you're also creating a better psychological environment where you're more connected to your goals. You're more aware of the consequences of certain behaviors. And so that's going to help you make better choices. Okay. So I truly believe that the more relaxed you are, the easier it is to make better food choices. Okay. So we're going to start with breathing. Just talking about a little bit again. Don't check out on this, because again, breathing is something, you know, we kind of take for granted, and we say, oh, well, I know how to breathe, obviously. But there's a good chance you don't. And certainly that's the case for me. As I've studied breathing for a while, I became much better at it. Again, one more thing. And so we're talking specifically here about deep breathing, right? And so the first thing we want to recognize is the big challenge to deep breathing, right, is one that we don't recognize a lot. But in our culture, we've really, and especially women, we've really trained ourselves to breathe shallow, right? Because when we breathe properly, again, if you think of lungs are bigger on the bottom. And so when we take a real full deep breath, what happens is our lungs on the bottom expand and it pushes our stomach out. It brings more attention to it. And so unconsciously, a lot of times we restrict our breathing because we don't want to bring any attention to our stomach. And again, after working with a lot of people, you know, over the years, really the first, it's almost like it's an unconscious lock. Like you've trained yourself to keep that tension in your stomach. Okay. So we want to relax the muscles in the stomach, and we want to, again, I'm not telling you have to do this out in public at this point, but at least on your own, when you're by yourself, just let your stomach go. And you may find it's weird. Again, don't be surprised if that happens and you're not alone. But let your stomach go. You know, let it go. If you watch a baby breathe, you'll see their stomach moving up and down. Okay, that's a natural way of breathing. Shallow breathing, you know, just by nature causes anxiety. It's just like, again, if you could do this on your own sometime, but if you hold your breath, what you'll find is when you first start holding your breath, you're like, this is fine. I'm going to be able to hold it for a long time. But at some point, it starts to get anxiety inducing. You start, and your mind starts becoming erratic and thinking, oh my God, am I going to, you know, I need air. Well, that's because your body and the cells in your body need oxygen, right? So when we're not breathing properly, it really does create a low-level anxiety, right? So this is something we really want to take seriously. This isn't just, you should breathe because it's better for you. It's very, very serious, okay? And so if you have any issues with anxiety or stress, I can almost guarantee you that you're breathing, you have shallow breathing patterns. I can almost guarantee that that's part of the whole thing, okay? And so again, deep breathing encourages a full oxygen exchange. And again, in a natural world, I think you would naturally do this. You wouldn't have to learn this, but in our culture, we've kind of trained it out of ourselves. So now we have to relearn it, right? And so the full oxygen exchange is just simply the trade of incoming oxygen for outgoing carbon dioxide. And so the fuller your breath is, the more complete your exhale is, and the more full your inhale is, the more it encourages that full oxygen exchange. And it really supports your cells, right? Oxygen is the life force of your cells, the number one life force, right? You always think, you know, you can go whatever, you know, weeks without food, days without water, but only a couple minutes without air. You see what I mean? So again, this is a fundamental foundational piece that you, again, you want to give a little bit of consideration. And the first step is really just checking, you know, paying attention to your breath. You know, it's possible that you're really a great breather. Okay. And if you are, again, skip this, but most likely you're going to find that there's tension in your body that restricts your breathing. You don't want your stomach to move, and you've kind of unconsciously somewhere along the way picked up not the healthiest breathing patterns. Okay. And if that's the case, you know, I would suggest working to change it. It doesn't take much effort. It's not a big deal, and it'll make a big difference in how you feel. So again, even deep breathing, it can slow your heartbeat, stabilize blood pressure. Okay. And again, with the deep breathing, a lot of times these are synonymous. I always think, you know, the breathing and the relaxation really are, they work hand in hand. You can't deep breathe without relaxation. And it's also, you know, you're not really going to get a deep relaxation without deep breathing. So I really think they have to go together. Finally here, deep breathing releases endorphins into the body, which make you happier. And they literally act as a natural painkiller to make you more comfortable. So, you know, again, just one more appealing factor of that. So let's talk about the 1-4-2 breath, right? So it's just a simple one that you can do. Now, again, in yoga, this is called pranayama, right? And that's how they refer to it. And so it's literally, there's exercises to practice your breathing to get better at it. And this is one of them. I find this to be very, very effective. So, basically, you know, it does calm the mind and body, and you'll see this if you practice it. And what the 1-4-2 is, it's basically, it's the ratio of your breathing. And so again, it's a ratio. So if you inhale for, let's say 4, you hold it for 16. So you inhale for 4 seconds, you hold it for 16 seconds, and then you exhale twice as long as the inhale. So you would exhale in this case for 8 seconds. Okay. And so, just a couple of points. If you want to add this, right, and I would suggest you do, but it can feel a little weird at first. So if you want to just start without doing this, that's fine as well. But basically you're breathing through the nose. And again, that's ideal. If for whatever reason you can't breathe through the nose, you're better breathing through the mouth and not doing it all. But ideally we want to breathe through the nose because there's more control there. And, again, I got to stress this. You first need to relax your body, which we're going to talk about in a minute. But when we're doing this, you'll feel it. If you try doing this and you're tense, it'll be anxiety inducing and you'll feel that. So again, you always want to make sure whenever you're doing any breathing work that you relax your body, check your posture so that it is, you're giving your lungs space to expand and everything. And then again, if you get to the level, you know, ultimately you want to be breathing through your nose. And then the one nostril at a time means this. So you would put your thumb on one nostril and your finger on the other one. And you could start with the left. Doesn't matter which one you start with. You start with the left. So you close the right nostril. And through the left nostril, you inhale for, and again, these ratios can change, right? So for you, 4, 16, 8 may feel uncomfortable. You know, that's possible. So going 2, 8, 4 is fine, right? And so you would put your finger would close your right nostril and you would inhale through your left and it would be like, then you hold it for 8. And then when you exhale, you put your thumb on the left nostril and exhale through the other one, right? Through the right nostril. And so again, you inhale through one nostril, close up your nose with your thumb and finger, hold it for whatever count you're going to hold it, and then exhale out the other nostril. And then you inhale through that nostril that you exhaled out of, hold it, and then exhale out the other nostril. Okay. So that's key. I don't know why I wrote this here. That was from a water slide. Ignore that. So that's the 1-4-2 breath. So again, I'm not going to do it here. I want you to play with it. Okay. Because what happens sometimes if I go through this with you and it's not the numbers that are right for you, it'll be anxiety inducing. So I want you to play with this, but I'm telling you this, man, if you do this, this is like 1 minute of this exercise. It has a profound, you know, I'm saying it has a calming effect on you, but you know, you got to understand when I say that has a calming effect on you, it's like if I tell you about a movie as opposed to you going to see it, right? There's no comparison. You can read a review about a movie, but the experience of it, they're two completely different things. Same thing here. Okay. So please don't just say, oh yeah, I know that's calming. You really don't know. It's a very unique sense of calm. Okay. So please just practice this at some point. You can just write down 142, do it after the call, do it at some point, just see what it feels like. And again, you're doing two things. You're focused on the breathing, but you're also focused on the relaxation. All right. So let's talk about the breath of calm as well. So the first one's the 142 breath, and here's another one. So the breath of calm, you know, it's just simply when we're influencing our breathing, we want to check our posture, right? Because again, that's so important. If you're slouched over, you're constricting your lungs. And again, what's going to happen is when you're trying to influence your breathing, it's going to feel uncomfortable, right? And that's going to create stress or tension. So we want to check our posture, make sure that we're kind of sitting straight, giving our lungs the room they need. We want to relax the stomach, the back, and the shoulders, right? These are all the muscles that are going to, again, if you tighten your muscles, just to give you the opposite, even right now, if you tighten up your stomach, your back, your shoulders, your chest, if you tighten those muscles up and you try and take a deep breath, right, you see what that feels like, right? There's nowhere to go. So the first thing you got to do when you're going to influence your breathing is relax. Again, check your posture, relax the muscles. Now, here's another suggestion for you. When you want to influence your breathing, you want to focus on the exhale. Okay. Now, this is important because a lot of times people say, right, you're upset. Oh, just take a deep breath. But sometimes what happens is people try and take a deep breath and say they have half a lung full of air. They try and take a deep breath, but it feels weird. I'm sure you've done this before where it's like, and it's anxiety inducing, the opposite of what we want. So if you focus on the exhale, no matter how much air you have in your lungs, when you start to focus on it, you can always comfortably exhale the air out. And then what you do is you concentrate on your relaxation. So you intentionally exhale the air out. And again, ideally through the nose. And then you relax the muscles and let the inhale happen by itself. Okay. So again, when you're exhaling, you're consciously paying attention to getting all the air out of your lungs. You don't have to get every little bit of it out. You don't want it to be stressful, but you want to get 90% of it out at least. Okay. Then you're not paying attention to the inhale, but you are paying attention to keeping your body relaxed. Your body will take care of the inhale on its own. Okay. And again, you want your stomach to move in and out with each breath. Right? So keep it relaxed and let the air move in and out very comfortably. And as you repeat this, you can allow your attention to alternate between the exhale and relaxing. Exhale and relaxing. Okay. So you're consciously exhaling the air out of your lungs, and then you're consciously relaxing the body. The inhale will take care of itself. And so that can be really helpful. And so you want to be present with your breathing and notice the natural rhythm of it. When you're relaxed, I like to say you're surfing your breathing, because your breathing has a very natural rhythm that's all your own. And so when you relax everything and your intention is that you're going to breathe more fully. You're going to exhale most of the air out. You're going to relax and let the inhale happen naturally as much as feels comfortable for you. You're not trying to inhale any amount of air. You're letting that happen kind of naturally. And then again, you're exhaling it and you go through this whole process. It's very calming. You know, so here's the other one. So again, I almost should have flipped these around, because this is the easier one, you know, to do. And the 142 is a little bit more advanced, but it's not that advanced. Give it a shot, you know. But they both have an enormous effect on you. And I think you'll feel it immediately. Again, I think recognizing that endorphins are released, you know, that really describes it well, because it's a nice feeling. And so I strongly suggest it. So let's talk a little bit about relaxation. And again, you know a bunch of these, I think, but it certainly decreases stress on your mind and body, which makes everything better. Again, it creates a better physical, mental, and emotional environment for your weight loss and health. You know, that's simple. It reduces stress hormones, right? It lowers the cortisol, just helps you conserve energy, right? Because tension and stress burn up a lot of energy. And we only have so much energy. and everything's pulling from that pool of energy. All our physical activity, all our mental activity and emotional activity is pulling from that pool of energy that we have, which is, you know, kind of fixed each day. So as we de-stress, we really are making ourselves more efficient, because we're not burning through as much energy. It's almost like metaphorically, it's, you know, having the foot all the way down in the gas of your car. So we don't want to go through life like that. It's unpleasant, but it uses up lots and lots of energy. Boosts your immune system. Again, you operate more efficiently. You can deal with things better. Increases blood flow, you know, to major muscles in your body, reduces muscle tension and chronic pain. That's always a nice thing. Again, you know, improves your mobility. You're more flexible, makes everything just feel better. Okay. So again, this is one of those things. I mean, in our culture, we really just overlook this stuff. We want you know, the big secret. I don't know what we want, but relaxation and breathing, really just real simple core things that make a huge, huge impact. And the big problem is we undervalue them. And that'll be your problem. It's my problem even. I teach this stuff and I've experienced it, but we undervalue just by, I don't know why we do this, but we undervalue relaxation and breathing, and we shouldn't. Improves concentration and mood, you know, which is nice. And it lowers fatigue, you know, so that's always nice. Like I said, tension uses up lots of energy, you know, in all different ways. And it reduces anger and frustration, you know? So again, I thought this was the right lesson to teach today, because regardless of which side you're on, you know, these the voting and the politics, and I mean, they're just always working us up, you know, and hopefully you don't even, you know, maybe pay attention to it too much and let it bother you too much. But again, sometimes it's hard to escape it. And again, we don't want anger and frustration. That doesn't lead to healthy behaviors typically. You know, we can not agree with things, right? We can be unhappy with the results of things and how things are going, but we don't have to allow it to control us, right? We don't have to allow it to dictate the states that we're in. You know, we can be calm and relaxed and still not like certain things. That's an option too. And again, finally, it kind of boosts confidence and self-esteem. And this is really true. You know, that when you relax, you get a different perspective, and you know this, right? You've been tense in sometimes, and then you relax, and you're like, oh, all right, you feel a little better, you know? And it boosts confidence and self-esteem, because why? It gives you more control. You know what I mean? Like, to me, it's like we have our environment, and sometimes we can feel so reactive to it. Again, I refer back to, you know, the political culture right now, where it's like we watch these reports and we feel like we have to react to them. And so in a sense, when we get reactive, like we just have to react in the way that, you know, from what they're showing, we give up our power. We lower our self-esteem, you know? And so when we start to have some control, that we could be surrounded by things we don't agree with, things we don't like, but still maintain a calm, you know, centered place, it boosts our self-esteem, that we can actually influence ourselves, you know, in different situations. And that's a good thing as well. And it's certainly going to benefit your reading and your weight ultimately. Okay. So, your state, right? So we talk about ingredients of relaxation, right? How do we create it? I want to break it down for you, because I think sometimes we don't know these things. And if you don't understand them, right, again, I use the word ingredients, because it's just like ingredients for making, you know, I don't know, you know, the cake. It's like you need to know the ingredients. If you don't, you know, and you miss one of them, the whole cake comes out screwy. So it's the same thing with relaxation. And so if people don't know one or two of these, and they overlook them, and they say, oh, I'm trying to relax, but I can't, right? Again, so we need to know what they all are. So any state, right? So relaxation is a state. And so any state where we're always in a state at some point is a combination of your physiology and your psychology, right? Just an easy way to break it down. And so the first one is your physiology. Anytime we want to change how we feel, I strongly suggest that you start with the physiology, because it's easy, it's measurable. Right. So if you're really mad and irritated, there's a good chance that your posture's tense, your muscles are tight. You know, your jaw might be tight, your face tight, and you're breathing shallow. Right. So again, this is really easy stuff to recognize. And so if you're tense and you're irritated and you want to feel relaxed and calm, I would suggest that you start with the physiology, right? Simply relax your stomach. Ugh, you can do that anytime you choose. Relax your chest, your shoulders. Relax your jaw, your eyes, your face. Okay. And then allow your breathing to become fuller. And I say breathing is what you're tracking. I like to say, like, breathing is like the speedometer in your car, right? It's probably the most important gauge of where you're at state-wise at any moment in time. And no matter how upset you are, whatever upsetting situation you're in, if you can slow down your breathing, relax your body, and take fuller breaths, you're going to feel better just doing that, right? So again, we always want to start with the physiology, because it's the easiest thing to shift to get an instant change in how we feel, right? Next is your psychology. And again, I put this second. So, you know, there's always the debate, you know, which comes first, the feelings or the thoughts. I don't think there's one or the other. I think clearly the thoughts influence the feelings without question. But at the same time, I've done the experiment with people where I keep them in a relaxed state. So they are actively keeping their body relaxed and breathing deeply. And then I have them think all the horrible thoughts that stress them out. And as long as they keep their physiology in the same place, they will report that they don't feel upset, even though they're thinking these horrible thoughts. Now, that's a very conscious activity that's unnatural, You know what I mean? Like, you have to really be present and keep your body relaxed and calm while you're having these thoughts. Typically, what's going to happen, you're going to have the thoughts, and then it's going to influence your feelings. But as well, sometimes, you know, if you wake up tired, okay, so your body is kind of tense, that leads to, you know, thoughts that are tense. So it's really a cybernetic loop. And I think you should think of it in that way. And both things can influence it. So again, I like to start with the physiology and put myself into a peak physiological state, which isn't just, you know, it's not like me bouncing around and all this rah-rah motivation. A lot of times a peak state for me is just being calm and present within my body. But then we go to the psychology, because the psychology is very, very important. And so basically the psychology we're talking about is the thoughts that you have in your head, right? Your internal dialogue, what you're saying to yourself, and the memories you're referencing. Now, again, the reason I put them second is because our psychology moves at the speed of light. I mean, and we can't see it. So the physiology is checkable, right? So if you're feeling depressed and you go, okay, well, let me check my physiology. And all of a sudden you recognize, oh, you're slouched over, shallow breathing, you're looking down. You can instantly change those things. You sit up, take a deep breath, bring some energy in your body, and you feel different. But then we go back to the psychology. So what are you thinking? What are you saying to yourself? What memories are you bringing back? And so, you know, one of the things I want to talk to you about real quick with relaxation, let's just put it this way. One way to elicit a state to feel more relaxed, we went through the physiology. So you create the physiology in your body. You can do this now. Sit up, take a deep breath, relax your body, bring some calm into yourself. And then psychologically, we can go back to a memory, right? So if you can think of a memory of a time and a place where you were relaxed. Now, the key thing here is it's got to be a moment in time. Okay, so a time when you're at the beach one day, you're at a lake one day, you're going for a walk, whatever. Sit in a hot tub. Just pick one. And you can go through that memory. Again, you ideally want to do this with your eyes closed. And you relax your body. Again, this is to elicit relaxation. You go back to that memory and you begin to remember the details of it. You start with the visual details, right? It was a day, night, inside, outside, alone with other people. Auditory, was there any sounds playing? There's a spa music playing, or you could hear birds or waves or whatever sounds you remember hearing. And that will bring the feeling back more. And then there's smell and taste, right? So if there's any smell and taste that you remember, you can bring those in. Then kinesthetic, right? And so kinesthetic is just the feelings in your body. So in your memory, maybe if you were sitting at the beach, you could feel the sun on your skin. Right? You're by a lake, you felt the wind on your face, right? So that's kinesthetic. What it felt like to feel calm and relaxed. So we start with the external kinesthetics of the memory. Then we go to the internal kinesthetics, how it felt, right? So if you're at the beach, maybe it just felt like you were melting, right? You're at the lake and it was just calm and peaceful. And then you connect to those feelings and you bring them back in your body now. Right? Where do you feel that relaxation? Where do you feel that calm? You're training your body, right? Just like you practiced letters when you were a kid and all the muscles it took to make those letters consistently, you're training your body and your mind to remember what it feels like to relax through this example here. Okay. And so we did that once, and you could cycle through it, you know, a couple more times if you wanted to. And what's happened is you will deepen that elicitation. You'll go deeper into the relaxation. So you could stay in that memory and then go back through the visual, back through the auditory, back through the kinesthetics, back into your body. Go back in memory one more time. Visual, auditory, kinesthetic, back into your body. Okay. And when you do that, again, you'll find that you go deeper and deeper into the relaxation and you make that memory more present. Now, by the way, you can do this with any state. I'm going to do a lesson on that because this is really powerful. But again, let's stick with relaxation now. And so, that's a simple way to create a state of relaxation, create a physiological state of relaxation, and then psychologically go back to a memory of a time when you were relaxed and just cycle through it and notice, again, what you said to yourself is another thing you could say, how you felt, what you were thinking about, what you were noticing. So real simple, let's just talk about a relaxation flow, right? And this is real simple exercise. You can do this anytime. You can literally do this when you're driving. You can do it when you're working. It's great to do when you're in bed. You know, getting ready to go to sleep. And so you start, you focus on an area and feel or pretend that part let go. Okay, so I always like to start it off, like I can imagine little weights pulling on my toes comfortably. And as I feel that pull, I imagine it pulling tension out of my body. I'm purely just using my imagination here. I can't feel my toes letting go, you know? So I'm pretending. I'm pretending that they're just letting the tension go. And then again, you start at your toes, then it moves into the bottom of your feet, up into the top of your feet. you could imagine the relaxation being like warm honey, just slowly moving up your body through all the nerves and fibers of your being in that area. Then you move up into the calves and up and through the knees and the thighs and the waist and the stomach and your chest. And again, you're paying attention to your body. So it's, you don't have to remember this, obviously. You're just moving up your body. I like to move up the front of my body. And then I move up into my shoulders, down into my arms, all the way down to my fingertips, moving back into my arms, you know, doubling the relaxation, moving up into my shoulders, up into my neck, up into my jaw, you know, up into my lips and into my nose, my eyes completely relaxing. And again, I like to visualize things letting go, tension dropping away, that warm, honeyish type of feeling moving over my body, just completely and totally relaxing and letting them go, right? And so again, you can repeat this a couple times. Like I said, if you do this before you go to bed, what's going to happen is you're going to sleep quicker and better. If you wake up in the middle of the night because you can't sleep, if you do this, you may not fall asleep, but you're going to be a lot more relaxed. And what you'll find is you'll start to notice when you get tense, right? And it can be helpful to recognize that. And you also have an ability to let go and relax it. And so once you've relaxed your body, you can do this as often as you want, as many times as you want. And then once you've kind of finished, you can move on to your breathing and your thoughts. And in the back of your mind, you feel the relaxation continue to flow over and through you. And so again, I think the movement's helpful in this situation. So what I mean is the motion I like, and yours doesn't have to be this way, but I like to think of a flow from my toes over the top of my body, the front of my body, up over my head, down the back of my body, all the way down to my toes again. And then just this, that's the flow of it, you know, over the front of my body, down the back of my body, over the front of the back. And each time it happens, I get more and more relaxed. I feel heavier and heavier. The tension melts and falls away. All right. So again, I think that's the secret. All right. So again, tonight, what I want you to do is to relax. All right. Enjoy this, use this. You don't have to be an expert at it. Right. It just takes a little bit of practice. And this is what I'm saying. I'm hoping, and if you haven't not doing this, I want to inspire you to do it, especially like this week, just give it a shot. I hope you're doing the master ritual. You know, I hope you're implementing that, because again, the beauty of the master ritual is you can do it in a minute or two, right? But what it's going to do is it's going to help, you know, if we go back to the habits, it's going to relax you. It's going to help you breathe more deeply. It's going to help you sleep more soundly. It's going to, again, influence your eating. Because when we're more relaxed, we tend to make better decisions. You can add some movement to it. So you stretch your body a little bit, which always feels nice. Okay. So again, that evening ritual of the master ritual where you're doing some of these things consistently. And again, you want to get to the point where it's just like brushing your teeth. You don't have to think about it. You know, so I'm a big fan of doing some sun salutations. And then you can do it on the floor. You can do it in bed where you do this relaxation we just talked about. Okay. If you don't want to do sun salutations, you can do the body circles, right? Again, it just feels nice. You're moving the body a little bit. It's not nothing intense. You know what I mean? It's not hard, but you're just moving the body and you're recognizing where the sun, the tension is, and you're just letting it go. And what you're doing really is you're training your body to identify tension and you're teaching yourself how to let it go, you know, which again is so crucial. You do not have to live with a lot of tension, right? So please practice relaxation. If you're sitting on the sofa, same thing. You can literally be watching a show and, okay, my toes are relaxing. I can feel them in the bottom of my feet, the top of my feet. My ankles are relaxing. It's moving into my calves. Oh, it's spreading through the muscles. And I'm just letting go into the knees. I'm letting go into the thighs. You know what I mean? It's while you're sitting there, you can just feel your body relax. You feel heavier. Allow your breathing to slow down, become fuller. You see, I mean, there's all kinds of opportunities when you're at work tomorrow, when you're driving. You know what I mean? Again, you can relax so you don't, you know, fall asleep. So all these things are just crucial. All right. And I think you're going to like them and they feel nice. All right. Cool. So, Carol says, yeah, I'll be doing, I know you, Carol, that's why I wanted to teach this tonight. You know, we get so caught up in it, but remember, you know, and as far as the politics goes, the thing I like to remind myself of is, yeah, I've been around for a little bit, but we've had all types of people elected, and at least so far anyways, you know, life is still kind of normal for you. So remember, you don't have to be reactive. I guess that's my message for tonight, you know. Jim, can you address how meditation ties into relaxation? The reason I'm asking is trying to explain the benefits of meditation to others. Oh yeah, for sure. So I didn't even mention that as far as the evening routine, right? So you could, again, my routine, my full evening ritual, when I do it, my short one is I just literally do the sun salutations and go to bed. However, I've done years of this. So my full evening ritual is I will do some sun salutations. Maybe I'll do a little bit of yoga. I'll lay on my back and I will do some relaxation, exactly what we just said. And then I will sit up. I will do a little bit of breathing and then I will do some meditation. And so up to the meditation part, we're talking about, you know, if I just want to do it, we're talking 4 or 5 minutes maybe. And then the meditation in the evenings, a lot of times I don't time my meditation. I time my meditation in the morning. Because again, one of the things I found is if you don't time your meditation, there's a part of your brain that's just constantly thinking about, okay, have I done it long enough? So when you have a timer, you eliminate that. In the evening, it's different. I'm just doing it just to quiet my mind down for a few moments. So typically my evening meditation may be like 5 minutes. So anyways, that's that. But so, okay, so how meditation ties into relaxation. In that case, I really think, so just now I was talking about your state, the physiology and the psychology. So there's the physiology part that's obvious, I think, of relaxation. The psychology part's not as obvious because the meditation, this is where the meditation comes in. Because a lot of times we have very little awareness of what's going on inside our minds. And so when you start meditating, one of the very first things that you learn is how much your mind is constantly chattering away. Okay, so I think the very first benefit of meditation and how it relates to relaxation is that you become aware of that chattering. They call it the monkey brain, right? It's just constantly like, you're just always finding things. And so literally the first step is just becoming aware of that, because a lot of people have literally zero awareness of that. And if you don't know, if you're not aware of something, you can't fix it. So the first step of meditation when it comes to relaxation is you become aware of your chattering mind. The next phase of meditation is that you learn to a certain degree to detach yourself from all that chatter, right? So when I'm talking about quieting it down, you know, that's a much more advanced thing. But the first step is we just want to relax it. And so one of the ways to do that, and I think this is why one of the key meditations that is taught is the breathing meditation. And so if you think about the breathing meditation, what you're doing is you're sitting there. This is exactly what I was talking about earlier when I said you could, if you intentionally kept your body calm and relaxed and breathing, you know, comfortably, and then you have all these negative thoughts in your head, if you maintain that physiology, it's like a shield. It's like a force field that protects you from those thoughts. So the physiology will win over the psychology when you're being that intentional. And so now we go back to meditation. What are we doing? One of the key meditations that we learn for beginners, and I've continued with, is just the breathing meditation, where you're staying focused on your breath. And so you'll put yourself in a comfortable position, right, where your body's relaxed, you're breathing fully, and now you close your eyes and you focus on your breathing. Now, what will happen is your mind, your attention keeps getting hijacked, right, through all the thoughts. You get caught up in things. And what you will notice if you pay attention is when you get caught up in things, tensions arise in your body. Your stomach gets tight. Your breathing shallows up a little bit. My shoulders get tight and I have to let them go. Shoulders get tight, let them go. So you're becoming very mindful of your body and the brain connection. And so you're consistently bringing your attention back to your breathing, which is just another way to say you're relaxing your body. You're clearing your mind. And so as far as meditation ties into relaxation, I think there's a very important tie. I honestly believe, I think you would have a hard time truly relaxing without the meditation. I should have mentioned that probably. And I should. But again, I don't want to overwhelm people, and you can still relax your body. But I think the meditation is crucial to really achieve a level of relaxation that most people are thinking they want and are truly desiring. And again, that is because really that meditation really brings you face to face with that mind-body connection. And you will very clearly see the effects the thoughts have on your physical relaxation. And so again, you're consistently relaxing your body, refocusing your attention on your breath, which simultaneously is clearing your mind a little bit. It's detaching you from your thoughts every time you do that. And of course, you get reattached over and over again. you know, that's the process of meditation. But that's it. I wish I could give you a simpler answer, but I don't have one. I can only give you the long-winded explanation. So hopefully you can, you guys all seem good at that anyways. You guys are like my translators. I babble on for 10 minutes and then you guys give me like one sentence. I'm like, I wish I just said that. Especially you, Jolene, you're actually good at that. So anyways, so, you know, but that's what I would say. And I think they do work together. And then finally, I think a roundabout thing that ends up happening if you practice it a lot is that it starts to, again, it gives you a higher form of self-esteem because A, you understand what's really driving the tension. And now you've gained some ability to kind of influence that a bit. You can't control it 100%, but you can influence it. You recognize, okay, because I do this all the time now. So if I find like, I don't know, I always use the supermarket. I get in line and there's a line and I instantly kind of go into a state of frustration. A, I recognize that I'm going into a state of frustration. That ability is improved from the meditation. So I realize, okay, now I'm frustrated. What do I want to do? I want to let it go. That's my meditation training kicking in. Because as soon as I notice myself getting frustrated and I go, because I do this a million times in meditation, I'm attached to a thought, I'm attached to a state, let me let it go. And it's all one thing. I'm trying to tell you that. That's what I say by a skill. When you write, you know, you just think you're writing, but think about it. Your fingers have to hold the pencil the right way. Your wrist is turned a certain way. Your forearm's doing certain things, your elbow, your, you know, bicep, your shoulder, your chest. You know what I mean? Like there's lots of things going on in your body to write. And so it's the same thing when you get into a state of frustration, same thing happens. Your shoulders tighten up. You hold your breath. Your face gets tight. Your mind starts spinning. And so the same thing happens when you relax. So you get frustrated and you say, So I can't explain everything that's going on, just like I can't explain every muscle that's involved with writing. But as you practice meditation, you are legit. That's what you're practicing. That's one of the things that you get caught up in a thought. It creates a physiology of tension, not all the time, but sometimes, and then you let it go. And so you're constantly practicing letting go of the tension in your body and the thought that created it. And so you bring that into the real world. And again, we get triggered all the time and we get tense. And as we practice, we just let it go. And again, I feel it for me, the majority of that whole process is happening in my shoulders and my chest and upper back in my stomach. And so when I find myself getting frustrated, I instantly, because I've trained it so well, all of those muscles let go instantly while I straighten up my posture. And then I take a deep breath. And again, I've learned to let go of the thought. And so again, that detachment, as I don't care, because that's one more thing. Again, I'm going on here, but I hope this is helpful, is that, we attach to thoughts. And so it's a weird process, but through meditation, you're basically just practicing. You're practicing being Teflon. You know, you're going to attach to thoughts, but you just want to be able to let them go quickly. And that's a real skill, you know, because a lot of times we want to indulge in our thoughts. And so the practice of just letting them go thought wise, when you get frustrated, it's because you're thinking about things in a certain way. So you create the physiology, let it go. And then I refocus myself. My refocusing myself really is on my breathing, because that's what I do in meditation is I'm sitting there, I'm calm, I'm focusing on my breathing. And all of a sudden I'm thinking about, you know, something someone said to me in third grade that pissed me off. Right. And so now I go, oh, okay. I'm caught up in a thought. I bring my attention back to my breathing. Right. So that's real practical, you know, really, it's really, really practical. I use it constantly. Cause again, I'm tweaked up. I got a tweaked up nervous system. And, I used to be very tense physically, mentally, and emotionally. And, the meditation has given me, it's made it better. Not great. I gotta say, I'm not as relaxed as I imagined I would have been when I first started all this. I really, in my mind, imagined I was going to be this really relaxed, calm person. And that has not happened, but I'm a lot more relaxed and calm. And I have a tool now. I have an ability that when I get tense or when I get frustrated, when I get into one of these kind of unpleasant states that I don't want to be in, I have an ability, a much, much, much greater ability to intentionally say, and I let it go and I recenter my state. Okay. So again, I tell you that because sometimes our false expectations can disappoint us. They did me for a while, but now I'm glad I stuck with it and did it because it's really helpful. So Jolene says, that's exactly what I was getting at, how meditation will help throughout the day when in frustrating or upsetting situations, practicing to be able to let things go and not be attached to thoughts. Yeah, that's exactly it. And remember, you're really doing two things. When you're meditating, you're consistently training. If you're doing a breathing meditation where you're following your breathing, You're simultaneously practicing two things there of, again, you're A, practicing your awareness of thoughts and how it affects you. But then once you're in it, you're practicing relaxing your body. So you're practicing the physiology of calm, and then you're practicing the psychology of letting something go and reinforcing that state of calm. And yeah, those are absolutely practical because yeah, right. We live in the world, right? I'm going to watch the news. There's a real good chance I'm going to be frustrated when I watch the news. I'm going to see it again. I'm going to limit it. I don't want it to, you know, I'm not going to get obsessed with it, but I'm expecting I'll probably be frustrated with some results of some election. And that's exactly what I will do. I will feel my stomach tense up. I'll get frustrated and then I will let it go. And I will say, you know what? I'm good right now. I'm thankful for the life I have and that I'm here and that, you know, I have a beautiful life. You know what I mean? So again, some things aren't the way I want them to be and there's injustices in the world. But right now I'm very grateful for everything I have. And so again, that's the gratitude part that I think factors in as well. All right. So, I hope that helps you out. And I know it did help you out, Jolene, because I know. So great, everyone. So practice this week, you know, let that be the name of the game. And I like to do this because, hey, so what if it's ramp us up time, right? The media makes their money from ramping us up, regardless of what side you're on. They ramp us up. And the more we get worked up, the more TV we watch and the more money they make. That's their goal. So this is peak season for them. So don't fall into it. Be passionate if you want, but don't let it affect your health. Okay. It does not have to be that way. You can be passionate and be calm and relaxed. I promise you. Right. So that's what it's all about. So every time you feel yourself getting triggered, remember, relax, relax, relax. And the more you practice relaxation, it's just like a muscle. If you practice it, you work it out in the gym, it's there for you in your real life. Okay. So it's the same concept here. So, all right, everyone, I wish you all a wonderful week, a relaxing and calm week and an independent week, a week where you realize that you're in control. You can feel the way that you want to feel regardless, you know, of the messages you're bombarded with. You still have the ability. All right. Have a great week, everyone. And I'll talk to you next Tuesday. Good night.